the worst thing they can say is no. You ask somebody, and the worst thing they can say is no. I mean, and that's okay. When I was going for physical therapy tech jobs, I got multiple no's before I finally got a yes. You just kind of.
Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner, and I'm a health science and physical education teacher. This is a podcast to help students, parents, and recent graduates learn about pathways into healthcare and sports medicine careers. These industry professionals lay out how their experiences have helped them get to where they are now. If you enjoy this content, please subscribe to the channel or download through your podcast player. Thanks again for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. So welcome, Ryan. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Drew?
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us and coming to talk with us about your first year and your experiences with physical therapy.
Oh, of course. I'm happy to do it.
Can you give us a little detail currently where you are as part of your PT program and kind of how that looks on a daily or weekly schedule for you?
Yeah, of course. So right now I'm about to finish my first year at Rockhurst, the physical therapy program. It'll end in about mid-May or so, the first year, and I'll do what's called a comprehensive exam. So everything I've learned in this first year, I'll take a whole exam about. And so, yeah, because kind of on a daily basis, it's a lot of fun. So I have different labs, I have different lectures that I go to. It's a program that I'm in class Monday through Thursday. I'm off on Fridays as well as have the weekend as well. It's a 2.5 year program. But yeah, depending on the semester, it can be very dense. So over the summers, it's a lot more dense, a lot of coursework very quickly. But it's a lot of fun, especially when you're into that kind of stuff. It's a whole lot of fun. So you just get to learn the stuff that you are interested about, as well as the more that you learn, like let's just say about like the muscles. The more you learn about the muscles, and it's just little things like, oh, I'm doing this. Everyone knows that's a bicep curl. But it's like, oh, okay, I know where that originates. I know where it inserts at. I know where, like, what nerve helps it do those things.
Right.
And it's
right.
Little things you can start to just think is fun. At least I do. I don't know. Maybe I'm a nerd, but, like, at least I enjoy it. And so just little things like, oh, it's doing those things and everything that you just get to kind of learn from there on. But it's a lot of fun. The people at the faculty at Rockhurst is awesome. They just want you to succeed. That's all they want. They're always open for questions. And they are all aware it's a lot of coursework. It's a lot. But the biggest thing that I can say to some of my classmates as well is that you can only take this one day at a time. If you look too far ahead, you're going to get stressed because there's just a lot. Like you're in a doctorate program. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. Wouldn't change it for the world.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, you know, you're in your first year, you're wrapping, we're at the end of the school year right now, sort of. And I know that PT schools, you know, like you said, that longer program for getting through it, and you're in year one. You studied exercise science at University of Kansas.
Yes, sir.
And in high school, we had kind of talked earlier, you kind of did the program for pre-law, kind of like the health science stuff that I teach, but for law. When did that kind of switch happen for you in college as wanting to switch from law to something dealing with the body and exercise?
So I'll say, so there were a couple of things that made me want to do PT. So the first thing was when I was first born, I had an open heart surgery. And so it was right when I was a newborn, nobody, it was a shock to everybody. I came out looking blue. They figured something might be wrong because that's not how I'm supposed to look. And so basically there was a doctor there that not very many people knew about this surgery at the time. And so there was a doctor there that was checking on someone else, another baby that had a similar thing as me. And so basically I was lucky because if she had stopped for gas, coffee, I wouldn't be here. Like that's how critical it was.
Right.
And so basically the doctor knew what was going on. The doctor helped me get the surgery that I needed to save my life. And so I've always thought that like PT was, and I'll go more into this, but PT was kind of my way of giving back to the medical field for giving me my second chance at life, because I've always been a sports guy. And then actually in 2015, because of my condition, I wasn't expected to be very tall or very smart. I'm 6'2", so at least I'm tall. So I got one of the two. And so basically I had to have I called a redo surgery, or kind of like a touch-up surgery. So basically I was out, this was at the end of May 29th of 2015. So it was between my junior and senior year of high school. And so I was out for 8-10 weeks. I was a very active kid. I hated that I couldn't get up and I had to ring like a bell and have my dad come help me up out of bed, because it was just so much pressure in here. When I would laugh or sneeze, I would have to have a pillow or something to like help, because for my surgery, they had to break my sternum to get in. So that was basically healing. So it just was very painful. And so I just really felt like I could really help, because my nurses at that time, either they had the surgery or their kids had a similar surgery. And so that was nice. I didn't have to explain what I was going through. They already understood it.
Right.
And that's just kind of what I want to be for my patients is kind of like an advocate. But I understand where you're coming from. I understand how this really is awful. You can't do what you want to do. So now we'll forward to how I got out of being a lawyer. So I went through the whole system I did what's called a Olathe Youth Court, where first year offenders or first time offenders, they come in like for battery, assault, theft, those kind of things. We're not dealing with murders, but stuff like that. And basically what we do is we give them community service hours, what's called service hours, to help them kind of learn what they did wrong, help them make sure that they don't make the same mistake twice. Kind of helps make sure that you make one mistake and you're not just in the legal system and already kind of messed up. So that way it kind of gives them a little bit of I messed up, here's a little break, and move on. So I started as a bailiff in there. I did the jury. I was an attorney. I was a defense attorney. And then I became a judge. So what really made it where I knew I didn't want to be a lawyer was I really struggled with when someone wasn't remorseful or wasn't like, when they were very much someone of, yeah, I did this, I'm probably gonna do it again, I don't care. It was very difficult for me to defend them. Like this person deserves 10 hours and like prosecution's over here with 50. I'm like, this person deserves 20 hours because that was very difficult for me, because I will defend someone to the death of like, if they're remorseful. I'm a very loyal person. When you are not even remorseful, that's very hard for me. As well as when I got to become a judge, I was happy that I didn't have to like write a ton of stuff down anymore. I just got to sit up there and read a book and basically kind of zone out for a while. So like, this is probably just not where I need to be in life. So yeah, that's kind of where that turned. And I was able to that was in 2016. And then 2017, my spring semester at KU was when I first shadowed a PT, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you went to KU, studied exercise science. Mm-hmm. What was that kind of experience like to go through the program there in exercise science and then apply to Rockhurst specifically over some of the other area PT programs?
So I'll get into the application process for PT here in a second. But so for KU, it's a very, I don't want to say rigorous, but it's a very difficult program. You're learning anatomy, you're learning physiology, you're learning all that stuff about the body, and it's very difficult. And so it's, for me, I wasn't much of a partier, but like a ton of people went out and partied. But for me, I had to study. I had to do homework because it was just a lot of the time. But it was fun to, again, like it's, everything is like, it was difficult. Yes. But like everything that you want to do, there's going to be some difficult parts to it. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
But yeah, it was a good program. Like I felt very challenged. I ended up graduating with a 3.379, I believe, which is fairly high. And it was in the School of Education. So we were also in the same schools, like the teachers, exercise science, PE teachers, stuff like that, those degrees. And so our last year it became, School of Education, Health Sciences, but it was a good program when it came to the coursework. I will say a lot of the teachers though did like they loved their research. They loved their research and all that stuff. And so sometimes it definitely felt like their research was more important. But yeah, overall it was a good program. So then when it came to applying to PT schools, so I was always told that you apply to 8, you get into 1. So I applied to 6. So I applied to KU Med, Rockhurst, St. Mary's. Those are the 3 local ones. And yep, I also applied to Missouri State, Wichita State, and then University of Nebraska, Omaha, Medical Center in Nebraska. And so I actually got in. I got an interview to all of the ones I actually applied to. Awesome. You usually don't get interviewed at all those places. So KU Med didn't do interviews and Wichita State didn't do interviews. So the rest of them that did, I got an interview for. And so I got into Wichita State, obviously Rockhurst and St. Mary's. I got an interview and then got waitlisted on at Missouri State, waitlisted at KU Med. And then I got an interview to Nebraska Omaha, but, I had already kind of chosen Rockhurst by that point when they were doing it. So I basically declined it so I could give it to somebody else that could use it.
Yeah.
Cause I didn't want to use a interview spot when someone else could. Right. And so basically I got into, my first email I got was actually from, Wichita State or call saying that I got into their program.
Okay.
So that was a really cool day. I was like, all this work I'd put in, and it paid off. I got into a school. I ended up getting St. Mary's, I want to say a few days later.
Okay.
And so for every school, you pay like $400 for a deposit, just like to hold your spot. So right. It can be expensive, especially considering they give you like 14 days to give them an answer. And so basically I had done the $400 for Wichita State. Cause I was like, I just want to hold my spot. I don't know if I'm going to get into other places. Who knows? Because unfortunately, like with the 3.78, that's a good GPA, but there's a lot of people that still had higher GPAs. Like KU's average GPA, KU Med was 3.8, I think a 3.9.
Okay.
And so basically, I got in St. Mary's. So I had also done the deposit for that one because I was like, cool, I got into a local school. And I was actually thinking about not even doing my interview with Rockhurst. Cause like, I already got in St. Mary's, we'll call it good. But by the time I learned about St. Mary's, it was the day before my Rockhurst interview. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, I can't just say no to Rockhurst. Like I can't do it the day before. That doesn't look good.
Right.
So I did my Rockhurst interview, and it was funny because I told everybody when I got out, like, I'm going to get an offer from them. And I ended up getting an offer, obviously, and I'm there now.
Yeah.
But the PT schools, like, it is very it is difficult to get into. It is very competitive. And I always tell anyone that wants to get into it to text me anything you want. Like I didn't have someone to really text or call or anything like that via right. question. So anyone I come into contact with, and then same thing with your students. If they have any questions for me, like I'll give you my number. They can text me 100%. But yeah, cause I really value having someone that can tell you who's recent, because when I did, the most recent person was 10 years ago.
Right. And at the end, when we're done, I'll get your social media handles and stuff, so that way people can message you and see if there's anything that they'd be interested in talking about. So while you were doing your undergraduate, you volunteered at Children's Mercy for a couple of years, and then ended up getting a job there currently. Let's talk about how you went about becoming a volunteer and what you did at Children's over there with one of our doctors that's been on the podcast, Dr. Denning.
Mm-hmm. So basically I had learned about it from a physical therapist that I'd gotten in contact with. It was at the Adele Hall, or our main campus downtown. And she had said, you should think about volunteering there. And I was in the spot, like, I need a paid position. I know it's only 3 hours a week, but I want something paid. So I was very much into that. But I ended up applying just because it doesn't hurt anything to at least apply. And I was like, well, it could help me in the future volunteering there, because I want to work there eventually when I become a physical therapist. So I ended up applying. So you do an interview, you do a full application, they do a background check on you because you're working with children. So they want to make sure that you're good.
Yep.
And so it was a big thing. It wasn't terrible. Like, it was an application and interview, so it wasn't awful, but yeah. And so I ended up being a volunteer there. I actually have a connection that my dad helped me get. The first person I'd ever shadowed was actually Dr. Jason Yoder at Children's Mercy.
Okay.
Sports medicine. He's actually where I work now as well. But I had tried to get into volunteer at his clinic because I had known him for a while. And so it was something that I enjoy being around him. I enjoy learning from him. So yeah, I got through the interview application process and they had said, basically, congratulations, you are going to be a volunteer and start August 27th. So basically what you do there is you get to interact with patients. You get to kind of see what the daily life is like of a physical therapist of a clinic, mm-hmm. at Children's Mercy. You'll also do some of the cleaning, some of the like wiping stuff down, putting stuff away, stuff that you would also do as a physical therapy tech. And kind of help restock things. But I do believe that there is a lot of benefit, and I wish I would have known this before. I'm glad I still end up doing the volunteer thing, because had I not been a volunteer, I'm not in their face as much. I'm not like Jason will remember me, but because I shout at him a lot, and he and my dad are friends. But when it comes to an actual job, it wouldn't have been right there. Because I had already known, I'd done this job already. He already knew that I knew everything. So we're all good. But yeah, it kind of became a job. And that's what I told the volunteer that we had over the summer, as well as a volunteer that we had a while ago too, is this is a good get. Make sure to stay like in there, like talk to them, still email them, stay in touch, because I'll be done next April because I have all my clinicals. And I mean, our last two techs, like that one came in, then and then she had to leave because she got a different job. And then our last one, she was there for 2 or 3 months. Then her and her fiance are going down to South Carolina because he got some job. So you never know.
Right.
But it's definitely a rewarding job. It's a lot of fun. It helps you kind of practice with interacting with patients and also just people in general. In the medical field, if that's what you're thinking about, because we also have like a doctor clinic, like a where people can come in if they're sick or stuff like that on the other side of it as well. So we have a little bit of both.
So as a PT tech, then what are some of the things that you do on a daily basis? You know, after you were a volunteer there, like you kind of said, you were able to get a job there working as a PT tech while you're in school for PT and just learning and what does to help the physical therapists?
Yeah, you cut in and out a little bit there, but I think you were asking like, what does a physical therapy tech do? Basically, what we'll do is kind of similar to what the volunteers do a little bit, but we also add in like we'll order some of the supplies for the clinic. We will also do the cleaning, just make sure everything stays clean, stays stocked. We'll kind of help put some people on ice. Just kind of things that if the therapist has someone come in that they need to get with and talk to, then we can kind of help out with that, as well as where with physical therapy techs, you'll have more you'll get to interact with patients a little bit more. I always say you get out what you put in. So basically, if you're out there a lot with the therapist and you interact, then they'll be like, hey, Ryan, I got double booked right here. I need your help. I need you to go over with Drew real quick while I am over here with what's his face. So and so that kind of helps when you can be you can start to create relationships with patients. You can start to kind of help out, as well as you just kind of start to really kind of feel like you're getting experience in the field when you're actually doing that and not just kind of watching everyone go by.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So then within year one, you know, like you said, you got into the school, you accepted the spot there at Rockhurst. What does the classes so far, you know, like, did you start summer school right after you graduated and get right into the program, or, you know, how did that kind of look like?
Basically, yeah. So I graduated from KU on May 16th, and I was in orientation for Rockhurst on June 1st. Okay. So it was a fairly quick turnaround. And so, yeah, I brought up my curriculum that I had for this. So our first semester is the summer. It's very dense. It's a 10-week semester. We basically kind of learn it's what's called foundation of the PT lab. You kind of learn how to take blood pressure, heart rate, just kind of learn the foundations of what being a PT is. You take anatomy lab, you take what's called movement science. So kind of like learning how people move, balance, how balance decreases, and how as you get older, how your different sensations, eyes, vision, hearing, touch, all those things kind of decrease as you get older. As well as a class I'm in now is called PT Management and Medical Conditions. So basically we get to learn about everything that could happen. So if someone, all the way from like kind of trying to help get someone somewhere when it comes to they might have a tumorous mass, because they're with PT, there's direct access. So they can come, you could come in right off the street and see a PT. So we kind of have to know kind of not in depth, but a little bit like a mile wide and a few inches deep when it comes to a little bit of everything. Just that way we can properly refer to a doctor, to a physician, stuff like that. So we learned a little bit of that. I'm actually in the second part of that class right now. But and then PT is very evidence-based. So you also have an evidence-based class in that first summer. The first summer is I feel like I've said this a lot. It's a lot. It's like, and that's just kind of how it is. And no one said that, I mean, it's a doctoral program. So that's kind of what you expect. It's a rigorous program that, I mean, you also have to think about it. Do you want like you go to see your doctor? Do you want someone that kind of just skated through doctoral school? And it's like, yeah, I'm good. It was just fine. But like, I'm good. I mean, so like you kind of want it to be rigorous. Cause I mean, it's like, oh, okay. The people that are this, yeah, they deserve it. They did quite the work there.
Yeah, I like that. And then so that 10 weeks of summer, that was your kind of first experience there at Rockhurst. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the first actual full semester then, and kind of what that looks like.
Right. So in the fall, we had what's called a clinical kinesiology. So it's kind of like study of how you move, how the joints move and everything, it's called osteokinematics, arthrokinematics. Obviously, you guys have no idea what that means. Basically, it's just how the joints move, how based on how this bone works right here and how this kind of, not hole, but like space right here that it attaches to, different motions that you do, how it makes sure it kind of stays in that place so that way it doesn't just kind of pop out up here or pop out down here. So we kind of learned that. We also learned how to do what's called a range of motion, what's manual muscle testing. That was in what's called clinical examination. And all that is testing someone's flexibility. How much motion do they have in their arm when they do this? How strong is it when you bring their arm up? Can they hold you or do they go down? It's kind of just a subjective, gross, like kind of knowledge of strength, how strong somebody is, just so you have an idea. So that was part of that. Then we had anatomy two. So just kind of everything we learned in the first in the summer, we basically did that backwards, to kind of review everything in the second semester. We had a professionalism class. We learned how to be professional, apparently. And then a cardiopulmonary class. So just kind of learning about the heart, circulation, arteries, veins, how the blood gets everywhere, stuff like that. It was being someone with a heart problem and heart surgery was very interesting, kind of knowing, getting to know a little bit more of, oh, so this is what it was, and that is what it caused. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like I enjoyed it. It took a lot of studying, like it just does. Like you there's a lot of information you have to study. You can't just be like, okay, got that PowerPoint, all good now. Like it's just not. I wish it was. I wish I had an identical memory. I could look at that and be like, all right, good. Don't need to review that again, but unfortunately that's not how the brain works.
No, it doesn't. So yeah, that was first semester. How many hours was that?
So in the summer we did 13. In the fall that was 17 credit hours. And then currently in 16 and a half.
16 and a half in the spring. So right now you're taking 16 hours. What do those classes kind of look like as part of the second part of the first year?
So this semester is we have lifespan health and wellness. So just kind of learning about health in people from children all the way up to 89 year olds. We actually did a couple of screenings so we did a children's screening. So we'd go to a school or we'd go to somewhere and we would basically see if the kid was developmentally on track. And based on we would be able to say, okay, you need to go out to we need to refer this kid out to their doctor because he's behind, and stuff like that, or they're behind. And so we did that. And then we also did an older adult, and it was more of a balance screening. So having them just do different tests, see how, for the sake of it, like we'll say timed up and go. So they stand up, they go 10 meters, in front of them, turn around, come back.
Right.
And then based on whether they get a certain time, it is better. It kind of helps say whether they're going to be a fall risk or not, or if they're good balance or not. So that's kind of what that was. And then we have medical conditions, which I've already talked about. This is the second part of it. We're doing, it's another research class here. Just kind of learning about the different types of research, how to analyze it and stuff like that. Acute care. So we have that, which is just kind of learning how to size a walker, how to properly tell someone how to walk with a walker, walk with crutches, walk with a cane, when you would use all those things, as well as just kind of like what is the best way to walk with those things. So that's definitely been interesting. We also did we had a couple assignments where we also did a wheelchair experience. So we had to sit in a wheelchair for 4 hours and kind of go all the way around campus. That was not fun. That was, Rutgers is very hilly. It was not fun. It took a lot of.
We had adaptive PE class for PE teachers. And in that class, they brought in the basketball wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. And so we played an hour of basketball wheelchair and it was fun. And then you get done and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm dead tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went up on a wheelchair for 4 hours and we also had an assignment, so I'm someone that I like to see how it feels, so that way I'm aware. And so we didn't have this assignment originally, but I asked my teacher, hey, can I check out this walker or this crutch for like an hour just to see how it feels, walk around with it? And then she made an assignment out of it. It's like, well, that wasn't the goal. So basically we had to do an hour and a half of with the crutches and with the walker. And my whole body hurt after that. Like and that was just after an hour to an hour and a half. Like, that wasn't even in a whole day. And so it definitely helps because you can see how it feels to be on those long term. And I texted my family and my fiance's family. I don't suggest getting hurt to where you need a crutch or a walker because it's not fun. And we're also we're also non-weight bearing on one. So basically we couldn't use one of our legs. So we were hopping around on crutches on one leg. We were walking around on a walker with one leg. So, I mean, usually like it wasn't great. It was difficult. I was sweating profusely and unnecessarily. I felt so out of shape.
That's funny.
Basically that. And then we're doing another one's like lower quarter musculoskeletal conditions. So just kind of learning about the legs. Like the different diseases and different injuries that can happen down there. The most common obviously is the ACL, but there's also kind of like a labral tear in your hip or PCL tear or a lateral ankle or like an ankle sprain. I have to sometimes catch myself from using medical because I'm just so used to it now. I have to catch myself from using medical
ones. Totally normal. They'll understand most of it. So we're going to kind of look into I guess one more question about Rockhurst and what it looks like. So after you're done this April or this May, will you have summer school then again, continue for the 3 years? Then you'll have, I'm guessing another 13 hours or so this summer, another 17 or so the next semester. and the following semester after that for year two. And then year three, you get to go out and do your clinicals. And we kind of talked about it a little bit, but year two is when, you know, you're more learning some of the hands-on type stuff, getting more in depth with some of the procedures and medical terminology. And then you really kind of get to be a peer buddy a little bit for the year one students right at the beginning. I think that experience is pretty cool to be able to, you know, talk to and share your experience with those first years coming in right after you just finished, which is the part, because you just did what they're getting ready to do. As far as mentorships go, what do you think you wish you would have known, like, early on, or, you know, maybe junior year of high school, that could help you with your education process right now?
So when it came to mentorship, the best thing that I think you can do is honestly make a list of things that you think you might be interested in. Like, because then you can go to, if it's PT, let's say, you can go to different clinics and ask to shadow. You can call and ask to shadow. And then that can turn to a mentorship. If it's accounting, you can call a firm, and I'm sure they do, like, either you can shadow or mentorship and stuff like that. Like, it is very important to have a mentor, just because you can ask questions, ask your parents, ask your guardian, if they have any friends that happen to do something that you enjoy. I was always someone that we had hawk leaders when I was in high school, and basically it was just when the freshmen came in, we were kind of like that buddy to them in a way of like helping them transition. And so we were kind of their mentors in that aspect of like, hey, what do I do with this? Where is this? And stuff like that. But I will definitely say that one thing I do wish I would have done in high school is just kind of written everything that I even had the slight interest in. You don't have to do something about all of them, but just writing a list of, let's say, 5 to 10 things that you might be interested in, like, oh, PT, law, accounting, teaching, stuff like that. And right. I guarantee you, between your guardian, between your teachers you have at Turner, between your friends, your family's friends, all that stuff, there's going to be people. And I'd say if you made a list of five, there's probably at least there's people in two or three of them at least that you could probably get some experience in.
Absolutely.
And especially like, and then teachers, I mean, they have connections as well to a lot of different schools, a lot of different locations, especially when you're in high school. They have interactions with everyone across that district that might have some ends as well. So finding a mentor is going to be very important, and it helps you when it comes to development.
Yeah, I like that answer a lot. The next question is going to be kind of a scaffold threefold question. It's going to be advice for a high school student, undergraduate, and then someone that's in PT school currently. So what advice as a, let's just pick junior in high school, that says they want to be a physical therapist. They kind of had that same experience that you did with a physical therapist recovering from an injury or something like that. You know, when they were younger and they really think that physical therapy is exactly what they want to do. What advice would you have for that junior in high school to kind of help them solidify that experience?
Shadow, reach out to that clinic, reach out to that therapist, and you can honestly go to other clinics as well. And just ask if you can shadow them. I mean, you'll see because of COVID times, that might be a little bit more difficult, but most of the time because it's kind of becoming a little bit more relaxed again, they'll be more open to it, but you never know unless you go and look. So I would say shadow is the best thing you can do. Because also for physical therapy school, if you do go that way, you'll need hours. And then also it just kind of helps you see that this is interesting, and then you can kind of put more time into it. I always say though, don't just do it once, because you don't know, like you could have seen the therapist on a bad day. You could have seen, it was just like either whether they had a bad day, whether it just wasn't as interesting when it came to like the stuff you're doing, because outpatient, which is what most people think of when they think of physical therapy, is like an outpatient. I hurt my knee, I'm going to go do this. Outpatient, inpatient, acute care, those are all different circumstances and all different environments that you're going to see. So I would say from my personal experience, it'd be better to do, let me do a couple days now, I would say go do at least 2 clinics for outpatient, go at least 2 for inpatient, and then maybe if you can get doing acute care, then do that. But you should never just nix it on one, because you might have seen a boring day. Some therapists have boring days. You just happen to catch them on those days.
Yep.
But yep. Also just it's something that depending on the environment, you're going to see a lot of different things. Inpatient, it's a lot more up and go. Like it's acute care said, like things are changing all the time. Things can change right. In an hour. So shadow is the best way I can say for a junior in high school.
Okay. So let's look at a sophomore in college. You know, like they're taking the exercise science classes. They're looking at, you know, which field that they're going to go down to get their degree in. And, you know, they still want to start applying for PT school for a couple of years. But what advice would you have for that sophomore junior in college that's really focusing in on applying for PT school when it's time, and what they should be looking at doing to help, you know, get themselves to stand out a little bit versus everybody else that's going for the same thing?
So if you say, I want to be a physical therapist because I tore my ACL in my sophomore year of high school and this therapist really helped me, I'm going to be blunt. You're probably not going to get into a school. Like that's what everyone's story is.
Right.
I got hurt. I had a therapist. He helped me. It was great. Like solidified it. So what I was in college, I was an RA for 2 years. Just kind of helped me with the leadership role. Also RA looks good. Join like a lot of colleges have pre-PT clubs where you can have like physical therapists come in to meetings and they'll kind of talk about their clinic. Talk about different things that they've gone through. Just try to be, go volunteer, making it so your resume and you have more than just, I got a 3.7 GPA or a 3.6 GPA or 3.8. And that was all I did, because you will get into some places. Like I won't lie, you probably will get into some places, but you will look better and you will get into, I don't want to say better place, but like places that you might prefer more if you have, I was an RA for 2 years. I volunteered at the Humane Society. I was on the KU club team for something. I worked at a PT clinic in undergrad as well. I volunteered. Just different things that you're not just like a single fold person. You're a multi-fold, boom, boom. But like, I did this, 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 and this. It just makes you look a little bit more enticing. It makes you look a little bit better overall.
Yeah, I like that. And then, you know, just beefing up your resume a little bit, showing that you do have those interests and showing that you are committed to something for a longer period of time.
Yeah. I did want to say something about that, like for applying to PT schools, because I told people a lot if you are deciding that you want to do PT school, it is a long process of like, it's on PT cast. You'll learn about that from your advisors in undergrad, but there are some things on there that you can put in and it'll save to go to the next year, the next year, the next year. So that way you don't have to continually put it in. There are some things that unfortunately they don't save and it's time consuming. It's a pain in the butt, but you have to just put it in every year. But like the things that you can save, I would say start early, because then you can like your transcript with all your classes, you can put that in as you go and save it and it'll just keep going. So that way you don't have to put all of your classes in over all the semesters and all your grades. Cause honestly, it's a pain in the butt. It took me like 2 hours to do it. Cause I did it all at once. But so trying to do it slowly and progressively, and don't waste you're going to have to write at least one essay. Do not waste your time as a junior, your senior. So when you are applying, So I started here. So I applied the summer before my senior year. So if you are in your junior year of undergrad, don't write an essay then, because it's going to change. Wait for that last year, write the essay then, because it's going to be different. That way you don't have to rewrite an essay and waste time on it. And I had a lot of people look at it, because I am very good at ideas. I've been told I am a great idea guy. I can come up with all the good ideas, but it takes me way too many words to talk about it. So have a lot of people look over it, because it'll help it
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. And this one's kind of going, the next question kind of transitions from that time frame into, you know, that first group of first years at Rockhurst is coming up soon. You know, they have, from the time we're talking now in early, mid-April to, you know, basically 2 months until they start. Let's look at that first year PT student as they start, and let's say, you know, June 1, and you got a group of first years in front of you. What advice are you going to be giving them?
Take it one day at a time. There is a lot of work you'll do. There is a lot of coursework, a lot of tests, a lot of quizzes, a lot of projects that you'll do. If you look at something of, oh, I have this test in 3 weeks, I got to start studying for that now, you are going to get overwhelmed. You are going to get like, oh my God, this is so much. I don't start studying until the week before, just because I can only take it 1 week at a time, one day at a time, because if you don't, you will get overwhelmed and you'll get that overwhelmed feeling of there's so much to do, I don't know where to start, and then you'll end up probably doing nothing. And also make a goal for your day. Okay, I have a kinesiology test next week. I have a project due on Thursday. I have this assignment due tomorrow. Make a goal for your day. I'm going to do this, this, and this. If I get all those things done, then it's a good day. And it's that way. And I always organize things by how much, like, it depends on what it is, but most of the time I'll organize it by what's due when. So if I have a test next week, a project due next week, and then an assignment that's due in a couple of days, I'll do the assignment real quick and knock that out. And then from there, I'll go, how much brain power is it going to take for these? Because I want to make sure for the class I need it, I'll have more brain power, and then less for the one that doesn't need as much. But and then rewinding a little bit, try to make sure that you have your study habits intact before you reach PT school. It's very difficult to try to figure out your study pattern or figure out the best way to study for you in PT school, because you're already having a ton going on. You don't want to, and also don't change your study habit. Like, you're there because it worked.
Right.
Don't change your study habit. If you try to change it, I tried to do it one time, and I was like, because I've always been one that I read over PowerPoints. It helped me. Everyone uses Quizlet. That's what everyone does. And so I was like, yeah, let's try Quizlet. Let's see how this works. And I mean, it didn't go as well for me. Like, I think I ended up getting a C on the test instead of, and then because the teacher took out some, I ended up getting a B on it. But it's for undergrad, heck, even where they are now in high school, try to start setting that study habit, because it'll only make your life easier. But yeah, for a first year, take your time, like, take a deep breath, take it day by day. It's going to be hard. You might cry, but you'll get through it. It'll be okay. It's okay.
That's pretty good stuff. For as far, so you got 2 years basically left until you graduate with your doctorate of physical therapy.
Yeah. December of 23. So yeah.
So looking out into the future, I'd like to just pick your brain a little bit about what your career goals are for yourself. Where do you see yourself 10 years down the road from now?
So in my perfect world, I would be at Shores Mercy as a physical therapist in some form or fashion. Because they're the ones that saved my life, I want to work there, kind of give back to them for everything they've done for me. And honestly, I've worked with kids my whole life. I was a youth sports referee up until last year, before I started PT school. I did kids' birthday parties at something called the field house over, I'm not sure why I'm pointing. There's trees over there. 135th and Quivira around there.
Yeah.
So I've just always worked with kids. That's just where I want to be. My fiance Sydney works with kids. That's just kind of how we've always been. In my perfect world in 10 years, I'd be working at George Mercy. Either inpatient or at the sports med location. I don't know where yet, but that would be my ideal circumstance.
Yeah, I completely agree with your answer with that. And I think that that's a very valuable thing. You know, like you said, they were the ones that helped you out, and you want to give back to that community of people and specifically the kids, to like what you said, you were helped by that and give back.
Kids don't always understand what's going on and like why they're hurting and all that stuff. And with adults, it's easier. Like they're like, yeah, I had this, so it hurts. So if you can make a kid smile, if you can brighten their day, if you can make them for not necessarily forget, but kind of help them forget, for lack of a better word, about what's going on, then that's what you need right there.
Kind of ease that pain off of them. As far as a book for a beginner PT, somebody that's interested in PT, do you have any recommendations that somebody could check out? A book, maybe it doesn't have to be the most exciting book, but something that you think that helped you, or something that you thought was really interesting so far, either undergraduate or first year program.
So, I think honestly, if you are wanting a book, I don't know if there's really, I was never really told about a lot of just regular books out there that would benefit you. I would say if you're really interested in it, check out a kinesiology book, like studying how the bones move, how the muscles work. So you'll also get, you'll also get some muscles in there. You'll get to learn, or an anatomy book if you want to learn that. It's just kind of things that you can start to get into that world. Because you'll see very quickly that, oh, so I do this and my bone moves down, so that way I don't hit this bone right here and so I don't pinch anything. Or same thing I said earlier of, oh, this muscle does this. If you get excited by, oh, I know this stuff now, and you can look at someone and be like, oh, they hurt that because they have struggled, then that'll kind of tell you where you're at. As well as you, if you just enjoy, like, if you're like me and you just got, when you're watching sports or you're watching something and you see someone go down, you just watch how they go down. You're like, ooh, that probably hurt. Like, just kind of interested. I wonder what they hurt. I wonder what happened there. Then that would be good. So yeah, I guess like, I don't know really good books but I would say just kind of checking stuff out when it comes to those things, seeing if those readings really start get you going, or if not, that might give you an idea.
I think those are good answers. Couple more questions for you. This one is a two-part question. It's if you like and dislike. So our athletic trainer here at the high school kind of helped me come up with this question, and it's if you dislike blank, then being a PT or physical therapist is not for you. Her answer was feet for athletic training, because you're wrapping ankles and moving after, you know, somebody gets hurt, you're dealing with a lot of that type stuff. So as a physical therapist student, maybe we'll look at, if you dislike blank, then being a PT student is not the right career path for you.
I'm going to say people or conversation. You have to be able to talk. You have to enjoy talking to people, learning about their what kind of makes them tick, learning about their background, learning about their kids, their grandkids, their situation. You have to be able to talk to people. You have to enjoy talking to people, because patients are very they will see that you're doing this just because you have to, or you're doing this, you don't actually care. So you have to be able to, like, if you dislike conversation, you dislike talking to people, and you just kind of are more introverted, which is fine. Like 100%. I would say PT probably not the best thing for you, because you have to be able to be conversational with your client, and really, because that's how you build rapport.
Yeah, no, I like that. And, you know, conversation with anybody is, you know, how you're going to be able to get across what's going on with that person. Second part is, if you do like blank, then being a PT student is the right career path for you.
So it's funny, because if you enjoy talking about things that no one else is going to understand, then you'll probably do great. Because some of my classmates and I will walk around and be like, yeah, but my semitendinosus just isn't feeling good right now. My pectoralis major, just, I really like things like that. If you enjoy kind of doing that, that'd be good. But also, if you just enjoy kind of learning about how the body works, how you're able to do these things, how I'm able to talk to you, how I'm able to raise my hand up and down like this, or put on a watch. That's like physical therapy and occupational therapy. But if you're interested in how the body moves, how the body works, how you're able to, say, live, I would say then you'd probably really enjoy it, because it's definitely interesting.
That's good. Next part is, do you have a mantra or quote that you like to live your life through?
I have one that's very basic and one that I just kind of live by. So one is, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You never know if you don't ask. And right. That was what my high school senior quote was. It was like, because you can see some, like, you never, like, if you don't take that shot, heck, like, if I'll go back to 2008 for the KU, if someone's KU, if Mario Chalmers didn't take that shot, we're not champions then. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. But the one I really like to live by is, the worst thing they can say is no. You ask somebody, and the worst thing they can say is no. I mean, and that's okay. When I was going for physical therapy tech jobs, I got multiple no's before I finally got a yes. You just kind of, and I'm very much of a person, when someone tells me no, it's the mindset that I get in to just kind of keep myself going. For like, okay, fine, I'll keep going. I'll do it without you. It's like, and it's funny because I'll just think about, fine, you don't want to help me with that? I'll go somewhere else and I'll prove to you why you should have given me that. And it's just kind of how I go through things. It's just, it makes me make sure that I don't get sad or depressed or about it. It's funny because, and another thing just in general about going through life, obviously easier said than done, but like, try to be happy. Like, a lot of people they're like, I've never met someone so positive and happy all the time. Like, I just think that there's a lot of negativity in the world already. I mean, in my undergrad, and because I'm a big Chiefs fan, I wore all red every Friday.
Yep.
That's like, it's strange. It's a strange thing. You see a guy in all red walking down the street. Like, that's weird. Like, I'm not even, it's strange. But for some people, that might be the laugh that they need that day. For some people, right, that might be like, oh, heck yeah, go Chiefs. It's just things like that. So when it comes to like what I live by, 100% of the shots you don't take is like, and then the worst they can say is no. And then just be happy, like be positive. And if obviously, but I've told people, it's a mindset. It's every day you wake up and you say something positive, like I'm excited for this today. I love that I have this person in my life. Something like that. And it's not going to change overnight or within the first few days. But eventually you will be able to change that mindset, and it is so awesome when you do. It helps you make sure that regardless of what's going on in your life, like, well, at least I have this. At least I have this going on for me, and it can really just make sure you don't kind of dive deeper into that bad place.
I think the take of the 100%, or you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, and the worst they can say is no, kind of go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And both of those quotes, I think, work together real well. The last thing I want to ask you is if you have any social media handles that you'd want to shout out in case kids that are interested in PT out there can get in contact with you, Twitter or Instagram, something like that.
Yeah, so my Twitter is @Ryan_Siebes, S-I-E-B as in boy, S. So there's that. And I think that my Instagram is probably similar. I'm very original, as you can tell. it's Ryan_Siebes, the same thing. So yeah, if they want to text me anywhere, on there, they're welcome to. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us and, really getting a good idea of what that first year looks like, and, you know, just how to live life with, my quote is live life with passion. And, you know, you seem to be very passionate about what you're doing, and it really shows.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. If they have any questions ever, reach out to me. I never think that you can always start early. I mean, it's never a problem. So, reach out to me with any question that they may have.
If you've made it this far into the episode, I want to thank you again for watching. Please subscribe, share, and comment below with any questions or comments you may have. If you're interested in more information about other professions within healthcare careers, please visit healthsciencecoach.com and talk to your school counselor or academic advisor. As always, stay happy, healthy, and live life with passion.